From Fort Worth, Texas, the Jesus Christ Said radio ministry is on the air. Our website, which has email and contact information along with past sermons, is www.jesuschristsaid.com. Now, with today's message about the good news of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, here's evangelist David Perkins.
Thank you, Brother George. In Luke, the 9th chapter, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, Jesus called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. Then he sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Jesus Christ said, don't take anything along on the trip. No walking stick, traveling bag, bread, money, or even an extra shirt. When you go into a home, stay there and leave from there. If people don't welcome you when you leave that city, shake its dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So they left and went from village to village, spreading the good news and healing diseases everywhere. The blood-red words of Jesus Christ in the Gospel of Luke, the 9th chapter. Please pray with me. O Heavenly Father, guide my heart and my words in the message you proclaim today. May it open the seeker's soul to the love of your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray for your mercy. Amen. Well, welcome to all. In the name of Jesus Christ, welcome to every one of you. It's so good to talk to you. Some listen all over America, New England, here in Texas, of course, Florida. And welcome in the name of Jesus Christ to you all, wherever you are listening. In our scripture reading for today, Jesus Christ said for his 12 apostles and us, this is us that he's also talking to go out on the road away from our homes and proclaim the kingdom of God and heal the sick. But Jesus Christ, knowing his apostles and knowing us, knowing the human frailties, knows that we have to keep it simple. We have to keep it simple and not try to turn ourselves into brilliant theologians. After all, what's so difficult about someone telling you that love conquers all, that faith in God, in the holy love of the Spirit of God, is the strongest of all things on earth and even in the universe? There are so many wondrous and wonderful things in heaven. We humans are so fragile we could die if we went much above 15,000 feet without oxygen or to breathe or protection from the intense cold. This could literally kill us. In climbing Mount Everest, the highest mountain on earth at 29,029 feet, or any other tall mountains, the climbers have known for some time that there's what they call the dead zone or the death zone, which is anything above 26,000 feet. You have to have oxygen to breathe and the proper clothing to keep you warm. And then there are hurricanes along the Gulf Coast and the Atlantic Coast. And here in this part of the world, in Fort Worth, we're in Tornado Alley, so we have tornadoes. We know they can kill. Nature's fury is real, and we human beings are so frail. And of course, there's human activities that kills. Warfare's been going on forever, it seems, forever. And it seems like the Iraq War has been going on also forever. It's only been going on since March 2003. And Afghanistan's been going on since late 2001. This is deadly business that I'm talking about. But we, you and I, who are followers of Jesus Christ, have long ago known that the love proclaimed by Jesus Christ is the strongest of the strong. No matter how strong these nature's furies are, Jesus Christ can quell any nature's fury. Just imagine if the revolution that Jesus Christ came to give us 2,000 years ago was all of a sudden totally successful. What would the consequences of the three core commands that Jesus Christ gave to us to love one another, to love our neighbors as ourselves, and to love our enemies, what would happen if that were to happen all over the world today, right now, this evening, this afternoon? What would our world be like if when this radio program is over and we went out of our beautiful homes or churches or wherever you're listening to my voice right now into the wonderful, beautiful sunlight that God made for us, that the love of God were all of a sudden universal feelings for every man and woman and child on earth, all over the world, not just here in the United States, but everywhere, in Kenya, Africa, where they listen to us, in India, where they listen to us, in Alaska, wherever you are. Not possible, you say? Aren't you like those with no faith, not seeing the reality of what actually is happening, the strength of God's love, the truth of God? Jesus Christ gave us the power and authority over demons and over sickness. Verse 1 of our scripture reading says, Jesus called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. Now first, Jesus Christ gives us this power, that is the ability, and then the knowledge of how to use that ability to overcome demons and to heal the sick. Then Jesus Christ gives us this authority to use that power. It's like sitting at the end of the runway in the cabin of one of those huge and powerful jet airliners, the 737 or maybe a 747, waiting to take off. There at the end of the runway, we have all the power that we need, all the thrust from those jet engines that we need, but we haven't been given permission to take off. So we're just sitting there at the end of the runway, going no place fast. And finally comes the clearance the pilot has been waiting for from air traffic control. Flight 123, you're cleared for takeoff. And you hear that roar of those jet engines come to life. You're pushed back in your seat, and you can now feel the power because the permission to take off has been given. Well, that's what Jesus Christ is telling us. We have the power, and we have the authority to overcome the demons, those demons in others, and those demons in us. And we have the permission, the authority to use this awesome power from God. So what are we waiting for? Why are we sitting on the end of the runway, our engines at idle? In Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31, Jesus Christ was asked what the greatest commandment was. Jesus told the questioner, a scribe. Jesus Christ said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." The second is this: "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." But before we can love our neighbor as ourselves, we have to love ourselves. Now, I'm not talking about selfish love, one that is self-centered like a little baby just newborn. Feed me, where the world revolves around us. And some of us grown-ups like that, the world revolves around us, too much drama in our lives. But I'm talking about the one in Matthew chapter 20, verse 16, in which Jesus Christ said, "The last shall be first, and the first last." This is the world in which you know you will be last. You want to be last. You want to serve others. You want to let others go before you. This is the love, this unselfish love of and for others that we are to pass on to our neighbors, to love our neighbors as ourselves, to show our neighbors what it means to have the love of God living boldly, boldly in our hearts and in our souls, to trust in God, to have faith in the love of Jesus Christ, that even if all the world is ahead of us in a line, that we are living with God and we'll live a life of goodness here on earth and a life of eternity in heaven with God. This is the love that we are to pass on, and we have the power and we have the authority over the darkness of the earth, the devil of the world, those demons that keep us ignorant and angry and sick. Now, Jesus Christ knows us, knows each of our shortcomings. There is nothing that we can hide from God. We may be successful in hiding our faults from others, those that are sitting next to you right now. I heard a good definition of a true friend many years ago that went like this: a true friend is someone who knows all about you. and still is your friend. A true friend is someone who knows all about you and still is your friend. It takes a wonderfully insightful friend to know all about me, and I guess it would take close to a saint to still be my friend. Well, Pat Perkins fills that bill. But Jesus, in all of his love for us, knows the number of hairs on our head, and he still loves us. Why? I don't know. I know I don't deserve love like that. It is the mercy of God at work in me that saves a wretch like me. And it is Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 9 telling me to go tell others about the wonders of the love of Jesus Christ. We have the power and we have the authority. I'm talking about you and I. We have the power and we have the authority over the demons of the world and the ability and the permission to heal the sick of this world. Now, some of these sick, in fact, most of the sick that you will encounter don't have a physical ailment. They have an ailment of the soul. They are dead to God and must be awakened with the Word of God, the sword of God's Word that cuts through the chains of sin and evil and frees them for a lifetime of love and the eternity in heaven. Jesus Christ tells us this is the simple calling. Do not take anything with us that would get in the way of the workings of God's wonders. Jesus Christ said, don't take anything along on the trip, no walking stick, no traveling bag, no bread, no money, not even an extra shirt. What could be simpler? No walking stick. Drive if you must in the 21st century, but keep the driving simple. No fancy car, just a regular car, like Pat and I drive a Malibu. Or ride a bicycle through your neighborhood. Don't take a suitcase. Why do you need a suitcase if you have nothing to pack? What's that old religious song of invitation? Just as I am. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Those words were written in 1839, by the way, by Charlotte Elliott, and the music written by William Bradbury in 1849. This is the simple calling, just as I am, without one plea. Now, I'm not talking great distances here like Mother Teresa going to Calcutta, India, going halfway around the world, 12,500 miles. These are short trips in this day, in this age. They may, in fact, be just down the hallway of your home to your spouse or to your child or your father or your mother or maybe grandma or grandpa. Just go in and gently put your arms around them. Or maybe just a friend. Put your arms around them and just tell them you love them. Not in some way that says they owe you something in return. Just a simple, I love you. Sometimes the greatest message is in just listening. God says for us to be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that I am God is what the Old Testament says. This is passing God's love on at the basic level, the simple calling that we all are called to do. We don't have to quote Scripture. We don't have to have a vast knowledge of the Bible. We don't have to have the brains to get into Mensa. We just have to have the love of the Holy Spirit living in our heart, living in our soul. We'll find the words. God will provide the words for us. We'll find the feelings of love for all our neighbors. We'll find the feelings of love for one another. We'll find the feelings even for our enemies. I love what Red Skelton, the old comedian, said about our enemies. He said, you got to love your enemies. After all, you made them. And what is this good news, this gospel, which came out of the pronunciation of God's spell in the Old English, was actually a Greek derivative word. So what is God's spell or the gospel or the good news we are to spread throughout the world and our neighborhood? It's about hope. Hope here on earth and heaven after we passed on. Hope here on earth and heaven after we passed on. We must have hope in something because we've seen time and time and time again that you and I, try as we may, just cannot do it all by ourselves. It's not that God helps us to achieve peace, but that we help God to achieve peace. Jesus Christ said, when you go into a home, stay there and leave from there. Jesus Christ is telling us that we must show loyalty to those of his sheep. Now, we are his shepherds even while we are his sheep. We are his sheep, but we are his shepherds, his disciples. This is what Jesus Christ means when he tells us to love one another. In John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, Jesus Christ said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Now, this is not part of the original Ten Commandments given to Moses by God on Mount Sinai. This is a new one from Jesus Christ to us, to all of us, to you and me and every follower of Jesus Christ throughout the world, whether you're a Baptist or a Methodist or a Catholic or a Presbyterian. It doesn't matter, because Jesus Christ said, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. If you are a follower of Christ, you are to love another follower of Christ. So we must stay in one Christian home, our own if we are here in Fort Worth, until we set out on another journey of discipleship, that simple calling that Jesus Christ has commanded of us. But what if that home or that village or even that person doesn't accept us as followers of Jesus Christ, doesn't recognize our power and authority given to us by Jesus Christ? Are we to get mad and begin to argue? Are we to say, well, you're just some kind of an idiot or some kind of a fool that doesn't recognize the goodness we are trying to give to you here? Is that the way we should act? Of course not. Jesus Christ said, if people don't welcome you, when you leave that city, shake its dust off your feet as a testimony against them. Now here, a city can be just a person, or it can indeed be an entire nation, or it can be a city. Going back to the Old Testament in the book of Psalms, David in the 100th Psalm tells us in part, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Now some versions of the Bible say, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye nations. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. All you lands, or all you nations in this case, means all of us as individuals. David tells us that we are to make a joyful shout or a joyful noise to the Lord, that we are to serve the Lord with gladness. We are to come before God with singing. In my case, I'm so bad at singing that David means for me to have a song of love in my heart and in my soul. And that song is played as I walk along the path that I am following of Jesus Christ. That song is played for others to see, for non-Christians to see, for other Christians to see. But we are to leave where we are not welcome. We are not there to win an argument. We are there to serve God. I want to say that again. We are not there to win an argument. We are there to serve God. We are to simply shake the dust off of our feet and leave. That's it. The simple calling, if it's not heard, is to become the simple leaving. No anger, no demonstration of destructive power. In Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 51, the Bible says, when the days grew closer for Jesus to be taken up to heaven, he was determined to continue his journey to Jerusalem. So he sent messengers on ahead of him. On their way, they went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people didn't welcome him because he was determined to go to Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw this, they asked, Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them, as Elijah did? But he, Jesus Christ, turned and reprimanded them. Some books say rebuked them, and they went on to another village. Now, why would Jesus rebuke his brother James and John, the beloved? They were just trying to protect Jesus, weren't they? They wanted to wipe that Samaritan city off the face of the earth. They wanted to do away with evil, to get rid of evil here on earth, to silence once and for all those who will not pay attention to God's word and God's love as is shown in Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ is practicing another one of his commands. From Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, Jesus Christ told every one of us listening, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." I want to say that again. "I say to you" is what Jesus Christ said. He's talking to you and he's talking to me. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. This is possibly one of the most difficult of all the commands that Jesus Christ has given to us, to love our enemies. But this is exactly what Jesus Christ is saying, to wipe the dust off of our feet and leave. I wonder how many conflicts down through the ages of human history could have been avoided if we had just walked away from the fight, if we just shaken the dust off of our feet and left. Just as it takes two to tango, as the old saying goes, it takes two to fight. Now, one person can fight with themselves, but then that could be considered insanity. But the simple calling says to just shake the dust from our feet and leave. That's it. Shake the dust from our feet and leave. That's the end of any theological argument, any questioning of one's belief in the Bible, any questioning of one's belief in God, in the divinity of Jesus Christ. Just shake the dust off your feet and leave. And so Jesus Christ sends us out as the last thing in the simple calling. We're to go out into the world spreading the good news of the love of Jesus Christ and healing those that suffer with sickness, whether that sickness is ignorance or racism or overly ambitious envy or poverty or jealousness or oppression or just plain hunger. We are especially to seek out those hungry for the word of God's love. There are many, many all over the world, perhaps some even listening to us today, that do not know of the love of Jesus Christ, this good news that our lives will be filled with God and the eternal hope of heaven. We, those of us who are already followers of Jesus Christ, are to answer this simple calling. It's not that we are duty-bound to answer this call or that we ought to answer this call. It's that we cannot help ourselves. We must follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. We must listen to what God has told us. We must follow the simple calling or we will die. This is the simple calling, the simple calling. Do you hear it? Let us pray. O God, Father in heaven, from whom comes the light of all the universe, be the guiding beacon for each of us in our simple calling. Give us the courage to be generous in our calling. The Lord God that created the largest galaxy in the universe, who also created the smallest grain of sand, lovingly created me. The hands of the Lord God are here in my heart, and there in the sunshine, the Lord is everywhere there is good. My God is the warmth that holds and protects me when there is danger. My God is eternal, and I am just a wisp of smoke, but God created me forever ago, and forever he will let me live through his grace almighty. The Lord God's purity and love will cure the evil injustice that we humans do to God's creation, God's creatures, and God's other children. Give us the eyes to see those in need and to help them through any means we can as a nation, as a church, as an individual. O God, maker of all heaven and earth, be our light, and let the love of Jesus Christ, from which all humanity flows, come into our hearts. Give us the clarity of heart and soul to be good apostles following your Son, to keep the simple calling. We worship your goodness and your mercy and your generosity, and we fear your wrath. Give us the courage to follow the commandments of your loving Son, Jesus Christ, as he said for us to love one another and love your neighbor as yourself and love your enemies. Give us this strength to follow his truth, that love of God is stronger when giving of ourselves completely, simply. Give us the strength of character to be that light of Jesus Christ, that generosity of God here on earth. Heavenly Father, keep us all safe until we meet again. Keep watch over us and keep our hearts full of Jesus Christ's love. In his name I pray. Amen. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're still part of the evil and the sinful world, you can change that. You can have God help you hear the words of Jesus Christ, and you can do that right now. No matter what is in your past, and it cannot be as bad as mine, you can become a follower of Jesus Christ now in the twinkling of an eye right here on the radio. If you're already a born-again Christian and you've gone back to sinful ways, to barring from the church house door, those that may need God the most, to seeking power of this world and all of its false wealth, if your light for Jesus Christ has gone out, you ask for forgiveness now. You pray with me right now. Just a very simple prayer for the simple calling, oh, Heavenly Father, please give me the courage to live the life Jesus Christ has for me by learning to love those around me. Save me from being lost and being dead in my soul. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. If you have a favorite religious song you'd like me to close the program with, please let me know. Today, here's the London Philharmonic Choir and the National Philharmonic Orchestra, And Just As I Am. This is program number 827, titled The Simple Calling. If you'd like a copy of this program, please write to us at the Jesus Christ Said Ministry, Post Office Box 162712, Fort Worth, Texas, 76161. Until next time, this is David Perkins saying so long. I'll see you in church, and be sure to love one another. That's what Jesus Christ said.
From Fort Worth, Texas, you've been listening to the Jesus Christ Said radio ministry. If you'd like to hear past sermons, please go to our website, www.jesuschristsaid.com. This is George Thomas saying thank you for listening, and God bless you.